It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If, only found here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of What If. Tonight, Anthony DeMarco joins me, as always, every week. And tonight, we're talking about a topic that is really near and dear to my heart and was for so many years of Roman Reigns turning heel when he was on that, what, 6 or 7 year run as a babyface, it seemed like. I mean, I may be off on the exact years. It felt like a long time. And the crowd just continuing to reject him, that mixed response, sometimes positive, mostly negative. So we're going to dive into tonight. We're going to dive into what if Roman Reigns turned heel in 2015. So I'm excited about this one. I don't know about you, Anthony. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I'm excited. And I'm really excited to talk about it with you because, as you said, I don't think it's any secret that this is something that you took kind of personally. And if I'm not mistaken, was there not a clip of you saying just turn Roman heel already in one of the old intros to the show?
Yeah, no, that's because I wanted it to. Yeah, excited. That's funny you bring that up. I haven't thought about that intro in a while. Yeah, I mean, I've changed it several times over the years, and that was one of the iterations of our intro of me just like screaming almost like, hey, just turn him heel like that. That's exactly what I said. I mean, I beat that drum for, my God, like I said, 5-6 years, whatever the exact year was until he turned officially heel last year, last August, end of August. And we obviously all know the story since then, which has been magnificent. So let's get started with this, dude. I mean, let me just ask you this overall. Given what we see now with Roman Reigns, do you think that even still WWE missed out on not turning Roman heel earlier, say in 2015, we'll stick with 2015. Do you think they still missed out on it, on what they could have maximized him at and the money they could have drawn with him as a heel? Or do you think, as tough as it was to watch him as a babyface through all of the nonsense and the tater tots and all, suffering succotash, all that terribleness, do you think ultimately we're still in a really good spot where maybe they didn't miss much, even though they waited 6 years to turn him heel?
Look, Roman Reigns right now is just far and away the best thing going in professional wrestling. And I include AEW because I think what they've done lately is just put them almost on par with WWE. But as far as Roman Reigns goes, I think that right now he is doing such a damn good job that he is making up for a bit of the lost time. That being said, we missed out on so much good stuff with Roman Reigns. And it isn't even directly because of him. I just think because back in 2015 and 2016 and 2017, the roster and the product was just so much better. And I don't think we quite knew how well we had it back then. And, you know, I think back of like the Seth Rollins initial claim to fame and, you know, how he wins the Money in the Bank and what kind of main event level babyface Dean Ambrose was, or the peak of AJ Styles, or John Cena still in his prime, or the meteoric rise of Kevin Owens. There were just so many other guys for Roman Reigns to work with back then that I felt like we missed out on so many great matchups. And we all got these matchups between Roman Reigns and all said wrestlers, but with him as that babyface vanilla character that nobody liked. So imagine a Roman Reigns on the level he is right now with all those other guys back then at their peak level performances. So while I think Roman Reigns is just doing an absolutely excellent job in his current form of his character, I just think it's a damn shame that it's happening right now, because I don't think anyone would argue that the product right now is much inferior to that one 5 years ago.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a product now that you look at it and go, oh man, this some would argue, oh, this was all worth all of that pain for 5 or 6 years that he was a babyface and it just never, ever, ever fit. You know, but if we're looking at this through a glass half empty scenario, and we're saying, yeah, he missed out on so many good matchups or so many great opportunities to really turn heel. And there were a lot, you know, specifically, you know, we're going to talk about this one you know, specifically is the Royal Rumble in 2015 in Philly, but you could have argued the night after WrestleMania 33 when he defeated The Undertaker and got the most heat I've ever heard ever for any superstar in one specific scenario. You could have turned him heel there. And they didn't. I mean, let's just round it to 5 years. For those 5 years, I have said, this is a perfect time to turn him. This is a perfect time to turn him. This is a perfect time to turn him. And there were just time after time after time of golden opportunity. And, you know, the argument against this would be, well, he had all those years of experience that he wouldn't have had if he turned heel in 2015. Maybe he wouldn't have been able to be able to handle it. Maybe it wouldn't have worked because now he's a much more mature performer. He's got more experience under his belt to be a heel versus turning him heel when he was a little bit younger and greener. So there is that argument. I get that. But let's choose one specific time, as I said, Royal Rumble 2015, Philadelphia. I believe this was the show before the snowed in Raw, which is really unfortunate that Raw got snowed in. It's really unfortunate because I would have loved to have heard the crowd that next night, and it's just a damn shame. But in Philadelphia, we all know the story. Roman Reigns was just you talk about an anti-hero, you talk about just the villain of the decade in Philadelphia. All the crowd wanted was Daniel Bryan. They didn't get Daniel Bryan winning, obviously. And we got Roman Reigns out there, who we all knew was the corporate choice at this point. He was unbeatable. He was not good on promos. He felt very forced. He was very mechanical, very robotic, was not as good as he is in the ring now. I mean, my God, it's night and day. And they end up having him win the Rumble. They brought The Rock out. The Rock couldn't even save his ass from getting booed. Even The Rock, that look he gave the crowd that night was just priceless, and it was awesome. So what it would be if you were going to turn Roman heel that night in Philadelphia, because I've got my own scenario, how would you have done it that night? Or maybe you would have done it the next night on Raw.
You know, it's so weird to think about because they were just having him placed on a collision course with Brock Lesnar. And the way I think about it is that I don't think they were going to completely pull the plug on that program and change courses. I think the only way that you would have had to do it here was make Brock Lesnar start turning towards a baby phase. Because the thing is that they couldn't pull the plug on Brock Lesnar. They had nobody else to face him. Seth Rollins was a heel entrenched in a feud with Randy Orton, still part of the Authority as Mr. Money in the Bank. Triple H was on a collision course with Sting. Kevin Owens wasn't around yet. John Cena, Brock Lesnar, been there, done that. So I think the really only real way that you could have made this work and solidified Roman Reigns as a heel is by turning Brock Lesnar babyface and just have Roman Reigns do like an organic heel turn. Not so much as like, let's say, obviously and obtusely as he did now, but more of an organic one like, let's say, Kurt Angle did when he was initially supposed to be a babyface and then Vince like turned it on a dime when he saw the crowd reaction. But I think a good way to do that while simultaneously keeping your pre-planned main event going into WrestleMania, I think they would have just had to, you know, call an audible and turn Brock heel, babyface rather. What do you think?
That, I think, would have been, yes, there's no doubt about it. And what's interesting about Brock Lesnar is that there's really no difference between heel Brock Lesnar and face Brock Lesnar other than how Paul Heyman positions him. That's it. I mean, Brock Lesnar is the same guy, which I think is awesome that he's very true to himself. He is who he is. He's not necessarily playing a character. Sure, he kind of turns things up when he wants to, and you know, but he is just him, a guy that lives in Saskatchewan. You know, comes in when he wants to, gets paid a few million, goes back, and he's just the same guy whether he's heel or babyface. And it's Paul Heyman here who really drives the car in which direction of the crowd reaction that they want. So yeah, that definitely would have happened and should have happened. It would have been very easy, I think, to happen. I believe this is even when Brock Lesnar was just re-signing with WWE, as many people suspected that he was going to end his contract at WrestleMania that year and drop the belt to Roman. that it came in, I believe, several weeks before WrestleMania that Brock Lesnar had signed an extension with WWE. So that threw a wrench into things, and obviously we know what happened at WrestleMania. But here is what I would have done at Royal Rumble to turn Roman Reigns heel. I think this would have been the best way to do it. Is, and I'll steal this, you know, outright from Jim Cornette, because Jim Cornette's the guy that gave me this idea, and I said that would have been brilliant. After the crowd was just crapping all over him, and they were, and Roman Reigns tried to smile through it and pretend that he wasn't hearing those boos. I'm sure Vince McMahon was sticking his fingers in his ears, singing la 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 for, like, you know, 20 minutes backstage, like, I hear nothing, right? And they were just pretending that that wasn't happening. The Rock was pretending that it was just, you know, the reaction they wanted. Here's what I would have done. I would have had Roman stand on the ropes. On the second ropes, as Jim Cornette pointed out, I'm not going to pretend this is my original idea, and I would have had him, as Jim said, stand on the ropes and just flip off the crowd. Just stand there, just look at everyone in their eyes and just flip everyone the bird and get on the mic and say, screw you guys, or something like that. It would have been very easy to do. He would have given that heat right back to the crowd and saying, you know what, screw you guys too. And that would have got him mega, like all-time heat. That's how I would have done it. And then you're off to the races on Monday Night Raw. Instead, we obviously didn't get that. We all know what happened.
Well, no, you'd effectively have to, because by doing that, I think that it would make him the biggest heel in the company, including Brock Lesnar. And I think the difference was, is that, and you've spoken about this before, is that there's go-away heat, and then there's true heel heat. And I think had he done that, he would have built up true heel heat. Like, there was always some talent and something polarizing about Roman Reigns, but it was just that he was so miscast. So I think absolutely this would have worked. And now that you bring it up and I think about it, I think this would have been the best way to go about it, because he would have become that instantaneous star that WWE wanted, but just in a heel fashion. But if this had actually happened, and we saw what happened over the course of 2015, as it really became the year of Seth Rollins, as he, you know, cashed in the heist of the century and just a great heel run as champion, how do you think Roman Reigns' heel turn would have affected Seth Rollins' rise to fame?
Well, honestly, I don't think it would have adversely affected it. I mean, Roman Reigns was the de facto heel by crowd reaction anyway at WrestleMania. We all know that this was the cash-in, right? This is the year that the cash-in of Seth Rollins on the main event at 31. So this, I don't think, would have affected. I mean, Roman Reigns was getting booed at WrestleMania anyway. Brock Lesnar was the babyface. That's actually where Suplex City started, and it just won off the camera comment, and he makes millions of dollars. It's amazing. So to me, I don't think it really would have affected it, particularly that night, because people were cheering that, you know, Roman Reigns didn't win. It was just like anybody win but Roman. And Seth got a pretty positive reaction that night, I think partially due to the fact that fans knew they were witnessing something exciting and once in a lifetime, and also because it was just anybody but Roman needs to win this match. But do I think long term, over the coming months and into the years, that it would have affected Seth's rise to the top? I don't think so, because Seth, while Roman would have been on his heel run, Seth was on his own great heel run as well, as the guy that shattered the Shield and the one that stabbed everybody in the back with the Authority. I don't think it would have. I mean, again, you don't have to align them both. Would you have actually kept them together as like a duo, as a heel, kind of a heel team? What would you have done with both a heel Seth and a heel Roman?
You know, I think that I would have kept them apart, and this is why. I think that them keeping those two apart, and you could even throw Dean Ambrose into this mix up until he finally left in 2019. I think the fact that they let each of their characters breathe on their own really created arguably the three biggest stars in the company. You know, Dean Ambrose, they never pushed close to the same level as Seth and Roman. But as of right now, Roman and Seth are the two biggest stars, in my opinion, that WWE has. And I'm not counting, let's say, Brock and Goldberg and Cena. I'm talking about full-time competitors, week-to-week competitors. It's Seth and Roman. And had you kept them in a pair, I'm just not quite sure that they would have become as big of stars as they ultimately have if they were constantly, you know, feeding off of one another. I think both of them had massive individual success, and that's why they're just so big nowadays. But now talking about Seth and Roman and how big stars they've become, I think one of the biggest travesties is that we've never had a one-on-one match between any two members of the Shield at a WrestleMania. And I think in large part that was because of their relentless push of Roman, and every single WrestleMania he was fighting a big name part-timer. We saw it with Brock twice. We saw it with The Undertaker. We saw it with Triple H. And I just feel, and specifically at WrestleMania 32, I think it just would have been a perfect time to push a heel champion Roman Reigns against a babyface Dean Ambrose as the main event for WrestleMania. And we ultimately got arguably the most underwhelming main event of all time in Triple H versus Roman. So do you think had they turned him heel in 2015, it would have given us a better chance to see either Roman versus Seth or Roman versus Dean at a WrestleMania?
Yes. I mean, I was never a proponent, though, of Seth ever being a babyface for the most part. I mean, it tried. It's failed more often than it's succeeded. It doesn't feel right. He's got the voice and the smile and the mannerisms of a heel. It's just how he delivers promos and just his natural voice, everything about him. And that's a compliment to him as a heel. Is just don't be a babyface. It didn't work. We all know that story. But with Dean Ambrose, I think you could have easily gotten a WrestleMania match out of them and maybe even replaced that god-awful Brock Lesnar match, really to no fault of Dean. It's really the fault of Brock Lesnar in that one, from at least the side of Dean Ambrose's story anyway. Maybe replace Roman Reigns in that match rather than Brock Lesnar. And you could have easily, given the history and everything else, and Dean was just a natural baby face, and Dean was so easy to like because I know they made him very kooky and wacky and zany, and some of that came back to bite him for, you know, in terms of credibility. And remember all those silly cowboy hats, those oversized cowboy hats he was wearing as champion. Like, I mean, he was goofy to the point where it was unbecoming of a champion. And I know that that's what Vince likes. And Dean Ambrose obviously was not a fan of it. He has said so since he's left the company. But you could have easily gotten Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose out of WrestleMania. Now, while you and I think that makes sense, I don't know. Do you think Vince McMahon would have felt that Dean Ambrose was worthy of Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? Because I don't know if he would have. Yeah, he put him in the main event, a main event with Brock Lesnar. But do you think that they would have actually done that? Do you think Vince would view Dean in that role?
You know, probably not, because Dean Ambrose, to me, maybe along with Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt, is one of the more underutilized guys of the last generation. And I'll never forget at WrestleMania 33, he was on the pre-show in an Intercontinental Championship match against Baron Corbin. And he was the first, and that being said, he was the first ever world champion when they relaunched SmackDown Live. You remember that when they rebranded it? And he had that great program with AJ Styles, and, you know, they really legitimized, at least in my mind, SmackDown as a legitimate contender to Raw in terms of a credible show. And it's crazy saying that now. And to see what they did with him just a few months later at a WrestleMania, you know, I think that was all that needed to be said about how they view Dean Ambrose behind the scenes. So I don't know, maybe it was because they just knew how behind the crowd was of Dean Ambrose. My God, easy enough for me to say. And how hard they were pushing Roman Reigns. So maybe they're just like, hey, if we push Dean too much, you know, the crowd's going to really bury Roman and push Dean Ambrose over the top, and we won't have a choice in another Daniel Bryan situation on our hands. Do you think that it maybe was because they were pushing Roman as a main event level babyface and they didn't want Dean to surpass him because of the crowd?
Maybe. I mean, I always had the default thinking back, you know, when the Shield broke up, what was it, 2014, I believe, is when the Shield broke up, that whenever you were in doubt, whenever I didn't know where WWE was going with something, I always just said to myself, oh, that's right. All roads lead to Roman Reigns. Everything they said, everything that happened, I'm like, oh, now, well, that's right. Let's just think about the Roman Reigns character. Everything else just orbits around it. that's how I thought. And 99% of the time that ended up being correct, because that was Vince McMahon's pet project. And he was effing hell bent on making him a superstar. And I don't just mean superstar in the title, but rather actually a superstar of wrestling, and specifically a babyface superstar. Obviously, we know that that didn't work as a babyface, and as a heel, he is infinitely better. We know that now. But I think when you're looking at Dean Ambrose, I don't think clearly. I mean, you know what? I don't think I know. Vince did not want Dean Ambrose maybe even sniffing in the position that Vince viewed Roman Reigns being in. I mean, he was hellbent for years. It was a war of attrition between Vince and the fans of who's going to blink first. Who is going to give up first and say, okay, damn it, whatever, you win, I'm done with this. And we have to give ourselves credit, fans. We are the ones that finally made Vince blink and say, you know what, the hell with it, let's go for it. And we were right 100%. So to answer your specific question, though, I think that, yeah, probably, because all roads lead to Roman Reigns.
It's so crazy. I remember when we first started doing this show, you used to say that at least two or three times an episode.
Yep.
And it's hilarious kind of rehashing history here, but you're absolutely right, because Roman Reigns, I remember, they tried to justify it by never putting the title on him. I don't know if you remember, but pretty much after the brand split happened and Dean took the WWE Championship to SmackDown, and Finn Balor / Kevin Owens were the first ever Universal Champions, and we had that whole era. And then eventually Brock got his hands on the belt, and the WWE title was always on SmackDown. You know, they tried to say, oh, Roman never has the belt, so you can't be mad at us. But because they had all roads leading to Roman Reigns, which was absolutely true, you'd have Roman Reigns' random personal feuds feel more important than the championship. Like, I remember them trying to build Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman as a bigger feud than, let's say, what was going on in the WWE Championship picture, or the Universal Championship picture, rather, with Kevin Owens. Or WrestleMania 33, what main evented the show? Not the Universal Championship match, not the WWE Championship match in a program between Randy and Bray they had been booking for 5 straight months in advance. It was main evented by Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker, and Roman Reigns going over. And I guess we could talk about that match. I believe you were there. What did you think about them positioning it above the two world titles? And do you think it would have been an overwhelming success had he been the heel instead of the embarrassment as now we remember it?
If he had just stayed as a heel and actually not been cast as that, not just by crowd reaction in defiance of what WWE was trying to cast him as, if they just embraced the damn movement of the crowd rejecting Roman Reigns, and apparently they never understood why. I'm for sure Vince is sitting there going, I don't get it. He's everything a superstar should be. He probably still doesn't get it today why it didn't work. Roman Reigns at that time, if they just went full heel, I think it would have been more successful and maybe viewed a little bit better. And obviously the next night on Raw, as I mentioned at the top of the show, what the hell? Why aren't you turning him heel here? I mean, you talk about negative reaction. It's beautiful to listen to. Some of the chants are just epic. It's the probably the biggest, again, the most heel here heat I've ever heard in a single segment. But again, that match was a disaster, and Undertaker has taken responsibility for it. I mean, it wasn't Goldberg Undertaker disaster, but we all know the limitations of Undertaker at that time. Injuries, just age. He felt he wasn't completely ready, and he felt very bad for Roman. So Undertaker's taking responsibility for it. The fact that they said, oh, well, like your point, they never made him a champion, at least not right away, so you can't be mad at us. Well, no, we can, because just because he's not champion doesn't mask the fact that we know what you're doing. We know what you're grooming him to be, and you're also discrediting the championship, the top belt in this organization, for a personal feud, which I understand can happen once in a while, but it happened consistently. On a bit of a sidetrack, Roadblock, if you remember that pay-per-view right before WrestleMania with Dean Ambrose versus Triple H, the crowd was firmly behind. Like, it's the reaction that Vince wanted, but for the wrong guy that Vince did not want. And that was a hell of a match with Triple H. And we all knew that, you know, obviously Triple H wasn't going to lose the belt at that point, but we had Dean Ambrose at least make it believable. And it was a really good match. I was thinking to myself, now this should feel like a WrestleMania match. Obviously it was at a no-name B pay-per-view for WrestleMania, but yeah. The last thing I'll say on this, and then I'll toss it to you, is they didn't make him champion, but when he did become champion, he just went right from 0 to 100, meaning he didn't go for a mid-card belt. He didn't go for the Intercontinental or United States Championship. He just went right from basically Shield breakup to personal feuds overarching the championships right to WWE champion. And that, you know, that's it. So
no, and then talking about Dean Ambrose, I just think that he was such a casualty of Roman Reigns. Like, I'm not going to lie, but is Dean Ambrose not the ideal type of character that you'd want to see go up against the Roman Reigns we have going right now?
Oh, God. It's a shame. It really is. Like, I mean, just take John Moxley, Dean Ambrose. I don't care what you call him. That personality, whoever yeah. that guy is, call him whatever you want. Just plop him in WWE. You have a money-making match immediately. Now, that's never ever going to happen, but yes, that's the exact personality that we'd like to see against Roman right now.
And it would kind of be, and obviously not up to the same caliber, but it would be the same type of kind of storyline or psychology as Rock versus Austin. Like, you have the guy with the wrestling heritage, the company man, the corporate champion in a lot of ways, with one of the most legitimate managers backing him up, against just a pure anti-hero rebel that looks like he just walked off of a farm drinking beer. And that's what Dean Ambrose did. And I just think that those two could have become like the modern day Rock and Austin. And then you would have had a Seth on the side who's like the modern day Triple H in a lot of ways. So I know Seth has still achieved a great success. I know Roman now is the biggest star in the industry, and Jon Moxley is doing well for himself in AEW. But I personally think that the biggest what if, had they turned him heel in 2015, we would have still seen Dean Ambrose in the WWE. And I really do think, had Vince just given him a chance, he would have probably been the biggest babyface in the company right now. And sure, we all know how much they need babyfaces. So I guess I just directly tie Ambrose with Roman Reigns when we have this conversation.
Definitely. Roman Reigns, Vince inadvertently, or maybe advertently and purposefully and not caring, did in fact hurt Dean Ambrose by focusing his just completely on Roman Reigns, trying to get him over as a babyface when Dean was just naturally doing it. They weren't even trying. It wasn't a focus. It just was there naturally. And amazing when you don't always try to swim upstream, which I mentioned this on the show last night. Vince's favorite direction to go is upstream sometimes. I don't know why. I think his thinking is that I know better than you. I know better what you want than you know what you want. I think that's how he thinks. That's how big of an ego I believe Vince has at times. So while he was swimming upstream, there's this guy over here called Dean Ambrose that's getting over organically, not really designed to get over this well. And yet here is Roman Reigns, the guy that you are just putting a square peg into a round hole and somehow going to make it work as a babyface. And yeah, this to me was so I really feel bad for Dean, because he could have been that guy. He could have been the position that they wanted Roman Reigns to be in, and just you could still have Roman as a massive star, just as a heel. But for whatever reason, he just envisioned those deafening cheers for Roman Reigns that never came.
Yeah, it's really sad, because when you look back at the Shield, you could really make the case that was the most successful faction of all time. Because two of them are the two biggest stars in WWE right now, and Dean Ambrose has gone on to become Jon Moxley and still be a very recognizable name in the industry, but with a competing company. And in my head, I'm just like, you guys did so well by creating three major stars from one group, but you could have had it all had you not just let them all be who they were supposed to be. And I got to give them credit. I think they did an excellent job with Seth, and they just let him become who he was organically supposed to become. But when it came to Roman and Dean, it was just like they saw like the big baby face and then they just saw a mid-card goofball. And had you just let them do what they were going to do or what they were supposed to do, you could have had all three of these guys. And I guess I'm maybe taking a bit of a leap here, but I just see parallels between all three Shield members and Rock, Austin, and Triple H. And maybe not to that same level and that same caliber, but in terms of what they could have been in terms of placement on the roster.
Yeah, look, I mean, just kind of closing this out, I will say, when Vince sees comedy in you, you're screwed. When Vince sees anything in you that he finds funny, you are done. I mean, typically, not every time. I mean, they've kind of reformed Otis, but he was damaged for many, many, many months in just a comedic role that I think was just awful. But if Vince sees any comedy in you, forget it. You're done. You are now and forever going to be that comedic relief in the show, whether you want to be or not. And unfortunately for Dean, as credible as he was, as good of a champion as he was, as good on the mic and believable as he was, which I think he had the best presence on the mic, even out of all three of them at some points, is he saw some kind of comedic element in Dean, and he goes, ah, that's it. Now I know what we're going to do with you. We're going to put stupid cowboy hats on you and make you, you know, put slime in a briefcase and slime Seth Rollins and, you know, just terrible stuff. Put gas masks on, all this really bad stuff that you can go listen to John Moxley talk about in the, I believe it's Chris Jericho's podcast. One of the, I think his highest rated episode ever. Really, really, really telling interview. But yeah, you see Vince sees comedy, you're screwed, buddy.
Yeah. And it's really sad because, as you said, you know, what has become of Dean Ambrose is indicative of what they could have done with him had they not just latched onto the comedy. So unfortunately, I just think, although we're getting an awesome Roman Reigns now, there was a lot of negative side effects, much just beyond the Roman Reigns character, as we both kind of agreed here that Dean Ambrose was a direct casualty of it.
Yeah, he was. I feel for him, but you know what? Right now he is having a career defining streak. We all know what he's doing in AEW and other promotions. He's killing it. And AEW is obviously on a massive rise right now, but that's another conversation for another day. And as always, this has been a lot of fun talking about Roman Reigns. It was near and dear to my heart for many years about Roman Reigns. Just what the hell are we doing here? Why are we doing this? And hey, lo and behold, we are finally in a Roman Reigns heel turn era that I don't want to end. And very last quick question, when do you think they'll turn him babyface very quickly?
Oh man, I think that they're going to probably go through another year, and then maybe in time for WrestleMania 38 we'll see a babyface Roman Reigns. And one thing I will say is that when he does finally turn babyface again, I think the crowd is going to be completely behind him.
I agree. This time it'll work because I've had time to hate him and they respect him more. Yes, it's just basic psychology, folks. I mean, yeah, I totally agree. They never had the chance to hate him at the beginning, and that's why one of the many reasons it didn't work from day one. So, Anthony, as always, so much fun, and I'll be looking forward to next week.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. Talk to you then.
All right, talk to you later.